What's going on, everybody? Happy Monday. Welcome to another edition of Mean Streets, powered by FTN right here on Game Plus Network, as well as our FTN Network YouTube page. If you're hanging out there, smash the like button. If you have any comments, any questions, you can leave them there in the YouTube section. I'll be circling back on this video, so if you are watching Mean Streets on Game Plus Network, you can hop on over to our FTN Network YouTube page, subscribe, smash that like button, and any questions, again, you can always leave them there. Starting to sit stuff for this evening, we have the Philadelphia Eagles at home against the Washington Commanders. The Eagles are heavy favorites here, 11-point favorites, a total of flirting around 43.5. When these two teams played earlier in the season in Washington, it was a mismatch, but Washington did some good things. Like, they held the Eagles to their lowest rushing yard total of the season. Jalen Hurts only had 20 rushing yards, was the lowest he's had to date this season, and 2.2 yards per carry on the ground, also the lowest that he had. Washington pretty good against the run. It's really all they do well. The offense in Washington has, you know, been a little bit better since Taylor Heinicke has been under center. He's been targeting Terry McLaurin. McLaurin had a really good game against the Eagles earlier in the season. Scott Spratt joined the show on Friday. He talked about starting Terry McLaurin. He liked him in this spot, but he is going to go up against Darius Slay. Jahan Dotson going to return for Washington, and he's going to go up against James Bradbury. So we're going to talk a little bit about Curtis Samuel, talk a little bit about the Washington run game. They can't run the ball at all. They're not very good at running the football, but if there's a hole on the Eagles' defense, it is the ability to stop the run. They've been gashed all season long on the ground. So we'll talk about a running back in Washington who I think have an okay day. We have some NFL props and some picks. It's really hard to hammer home which Eagles guy is going to be the guy because, you know, if you followed this team all year, they've kind of spread it around. Earlier in the season, they were running. Jalen Hurts was rushing. He was getting a lot of rushing touchdowns. Week one, they had four rushing touchdowns from four different players: Boston Scott, Kenneth Gainwell, Jalen Hurts, Miles Sanders. We've seen a lot of A.J. Brown lately. We've seen a lot of Dallas Goedert. We haven't seen a whole lot of Devontae Smith lately, but I do believe it will be a slim reaper game here tonight against Washington. He did show up in a big way against the Commanders. But as I mentioned, Washington did pretty good in that game. They held the Eagles, I think it was like 12 drives they had on offense. They only scored on four of them. They punted six times as well. And there's a quarterback change, which is significant because Carson Wentz was sacked nine times in that game against his former squad. And as I mentioned, Heinicke's kind of got this team rolling a bit. They hung around with Minnesota over the weekend, actually a couple weeks ago, and they're doing pretty good, right? But it's a team that can't really move the ball on the ground, and they have struggled overall. I think they're 27th in DVOA offense. They're 20th, actually, and 29th for the pass and 27th for the run. And you're going up against an Eagles team, according to Football Outsiders. Defense, they're number three. They're number two against the pass, but they are 27th against the run. So again, that's kind of the issue that this team has had defensively this season. But offensively, number four overall in DVOA offense, number three in pass DVOA, and number five in rush DVOA. So we'll get into that game in just a little bit. We'll take a look at it from a spreads and betting standpoint. Got some picks and some props. We'll do the same thing in the NHL as well. Four games on the ice tonight. There's an early game happening in Ottawa. I think that's 5:30 Eastern between the Sens and the Islanders. It's not included in the DFS slate. It's just a three-game slate. We have Chicago and Carolina. We have LA and Calgary. And then Colorado and St. Louis. The Blues got back-to-back wins. Maybe they're on to something. A tough spot for them to go into Colorado and take on an Avs team, but they do have wins in back-to-back games. They're playing a little bit better lately, but we do have some shot props and some NHL props and point parlays and things like that. We hit another good one over the weekend, 18-1 on a same game point parlay. Just actually was a shot prop. We had all the Panthers for shots. I know not everybody can do this. I have a lot of people that have reached out to me, you know, where are you, you know, giving these same game parlays for points and for shots. The only book I seem to find them is Bet365. So if you can play Bet365, like tonight, Carolina, Svechnikov and Aho on the same line together. Their Hurricanes have one of the highest team implied totals on the slate going up against the Chicago Blackhawks, inside the top five in shot attempts and shots allowed of 5-5 per 60. They've given up a lot of high quality chances as well. You expect Carolina to put up three or four goals. I do anyways. They're at least going to have some opportunity, high quality chances, I suppose. I'll say that. You get a couple power plays and away they go. But it correlates well, right? Svechnikov and Aho, these guys are playing together at 5-5 on the power play. If one of them scores, most likely the other one is in on it. So these guys, to both of them to have a point tonight, Bet365 is +110. But there is a lot to address here on this show. We are going to hit the waiver wire, take a look at some wide receivers. There's some injuries, of course. Jerry Jeudy suffered an injury. We're waiting on the extent of that injury. But, you know, big takeaways for me. One, that game of Buffalo was fantastic. Game of the year for sure. The Bills, man, they just play in these games. It's I know there's a lot of people that I know that are Leaf fans and Bills fans, and it must just be gut-wrenching to be a fan of those two teams. The way that the Bills have lost games over the years, this one, I remember one a couple of years ago against the Titans with a fumble snap on the goal line from Josh Allen, the same thing that happened to him yesterday. And then that was on the other side of it. That was offensively, they were moving the football against the Titans and they were looking to score there at the end. And I think he lost the ball. And then yesterday he lost the ball on his own one. You could easily say, now, why don't you take the safety? You take the safety, but that's football 101. It's basically the easiest play to accomplish in the NFL is, you know, a snap under center to the quarterback, and they botched it. But an unbelievable game for the Vikings to come back in that game. I thought they lost three or four times. We had one-handed catches from Justin Jefferson and Stephon Diggs. Fun little connection there between those two guys as the Bills traded away what could have been a pick to grab Justin Jefferson in that draft, and they got Stephon Diggs, which is like a younger, better version of Stephon Diggs, Justin Jefferson. But those two guys are fantastic. That was a really, really fun game. And the Vikings, say what you want. I've said it a couple times in this show that I feel like maybe they're fraudulent, that I don't really believe in a lot of their wins. But that was a big one. You can't say anything about that win yesterday. You can make excuses all you want about Josh Allen's elbow, and he's had four interceptions in the red zone over the past couple weeks. He's not playing his best football, but that was a real nice win for Minnesota to go into Buffalo in a hostile environment and to beat the Bills on their own turf and to come back the way that they did to win that game says a lot about that squad. The NFC is loaded. It really is. Heading into this season, I thought the AFC was loaded and there was just a couple good NFC teams, but we saw the Bucs get back on track on the ground. It's taken a long time, but guys that we've loved on this show before the season started, Rashad White, Cole Kmet, Christian Watson, they've all shown up in big ways over the past couple weeks, especially Christian Watson. A shout out to our guy Two Gun, who called it on the show yesterday. Christian Watson, finally, we mentioned him last week when Romeo Doubs went down, that maybe Watson would start to uptick in this offense. It was still Alan Lazard who led the way in terms of running routes and playing the most snaps. So Watson's getting those deep passes. And you remember week one, he had that deep pass that he dropped. He still had a couple drops and bad drops yesterday, missed assignments, but he did have the three touchdowns. Rashad White leads the backfield in Tampa Bay. They're on a bye this week. Leonard Fournette did leave that game with a hip injury, but they were up a couple scores, so I don't know if he could have played that one out. But White looked really good, and he continues to trend up in this offense. Cole Kmet, another touchdown. I didn't think we'd get the over 3.5 future touchdown prop for him, but I mean, he's done that in the last couple of games now, so he had a couple more touchdowns yesterday, and he did cash that ticket for us at 3.5 touchdowns for the season. Miami, 7-0 with Tua Tagovailoa. When he starts and finishes games, they just continue to light the world on fire. So there's a lot of takeaways in the NFL. CMC kind of getting out-touched by, more carries for Elijah Mitchell was interesting to see with Mitchell's first game back. Some CMC worries, I'm sure. And then Isaiah Pacheco. Pacheco led the backfield yesterday. CEH had four snaps. That's it, four snaps. The highs and the lows. He's a starting running back. Everybody goes to get him. He doesn't do anything. He's going to start the game. He hardly really touches the field. It was a committee. Everybody drops this guy. His ownership is 27% in Yahoo. Now everyone's going to go pick him up. How about Kadarius Toney, right? Highs and lows, sell high. Now an injury to Juju Smith-Schuster. Mecole Hardman didn't play over the weekend. Now wheels up potentially here for Kadarius Toney as well. So a lot to get to. Didn't even mention Justin Fields, who had another day as well. We got some wide receivers to pick up, to roster in fantasy football. We could touch a little bit more on some backfields. We'll talk about Justin Fields. We'll get into the Eagles and the Commanders. Lots of picks on this show. And we'll even visit the fantasy hockey waiver wire as well. Keep it locked. Mean Streets continues here on Game Plus Network next. Welcome back. And I see some people hanging out with us. Albert, good morning. Brett is in the house as well. Hi, Chris Dulcich or Kmet rest of the season. It is Cole Kmet for me. It's hard to argue that one. You know, Dulcich had a bad game. Jerry Jeudy goes down. The schedule moving forward for the Broncos is really nice. But my goodness, this Broncos team, they are just so pathetic here. I'll get into them in a second. But Cole Kmet, And he's got 5 touchdowns over his last 3 games now, 9 catches over his last 2. He's just trending up, right? It's clearly it took some time, right? A 0 in week 1, a 0 in week 2. He didn't even, I mean, he had 1 target in each of those first 2 games. Then he starts to trend up a little bit, you know, 2 catches for 40, 4 for 45. But the last couple weeks, you know, had 6 targets in week 10 or week 9, which was a season high for him. He had 41 yards. Then last week, yesterday, he tops that with 7 targets, 4 catches and 74 yards. Teams are focusing in on Justin Fields, right? Stacking boxes. And Fields is making some good decisions. Now, he made a bad decision in his own territory, which pretty much cost the Bears the game. I thought that was the turning point. They were up by a touchdown. He threw a pick 6 there. And, you know, the game was tied at that point. And they ended up losing that game. But, you know, he is, for the most part, he is making really good decisions. And, you know, with the RPOs, and man, he is just so explosive. It's crazy how fast he is. And he's got the 7th most rushing, 6th most rushing yards in the NFL right now. Like Saquon Barkley 1, Derrick Henry 2, Nick Chubb 3, Josh Jacobs 4, Damian Pierce 5. And then it's Justin Fields. He's got 555 rushing yards over the last 4 weeks. It's the most in football. He's got 5 rushing touchdowns over that span. It's the 2nd most in football. I think Ken Walker has 6. He's lighting the world on fire right now. He's been fantastic. I said yesterday about, or not yesterday, last week I did mention selling high on Justin Fields. I don't know if anyone is cursing me as of today, or they got a good return, or they're like, thank goodness I didn't trade Justin Fields. We knew he was going to have a good game against Detroit. The reason I was thinking about selling high on Justin Fields, and I would still entertain offers for Justin Fields because he keeps, you know, topping his performances, and he's been the number 1 quarterback over the last few weeks of the season, and he comes with that nice rushing floor. It's like starting with 2 touchdowns is basically what you're getting, and if he throws one, it's all gravy. He gets to that ceiling. But keep in mind that, you know, he's got a week 14 bye, his first 2 matchups in the fantasy football playoffs against the Eagles and against the Bills. I don't know if it's that order, but those are 2 tough matchups for him. But he has passed, you know, tough tests this season. He had a game against the Pats where he did fairly well, and he had a game against the Dallas Cowboys who did fairly well. But maybe the Cowboys defense is not that great after all. I mean, they couldn't hold a 2-score game against Aaron Rodgers yesterday at Lambeau. It was a big win for the Green Bay Packers and a little bit of breathing room for the Eagles. Right, Tyler? Right, Tyler? Yeah, your Giants with another W there yesterday as well. I would still consider selling, especially if you are not in a playoff spot. If you don't care about that week 14 bye, then whatever, it's all good. And you roll out Justin Fields in those tough matchups, and he comes with a really good floor that we talked about. If you are looking ahead and, you know, there's no quarterbacks on your waiver wire, and you're like, who the heck am I going to start week 14? A must win situation for me to get into the playoffs. You may have to deal this guy and trade him, and you could get a low end quarterback 1. You could get maybe a Tom Brady and something else. I know Tom Brady obviously doesn't have that same type of floor, and he's had a bit of a rough season, but I thought last week, I thought the game in Germany was a good game for the Bucs. They had a balanced attack. The offensive line played well, and they ran the football, and you still saw, you know, Chris Godwin had his first touchdown. Evans was getting targeted down the field. Kate Otten still involved in the offense. Julio Jones had a touchdown there as well. So it's just something to consider. Clearly, trading a guy like this is not easy to do, and it's a little unsettling. But to answer your question, Brett, come full circle here. I would keep Cole Kmet the way that this offense is run, and there's as teams start to try to stop the run and stack the box, he's making some good decisions, and Cole Kmet has been wide open all over the field. What I will say about Dulcich is, you know, it was a dud game from him, but he did get targeted down the field, like 4 targets, 1 catch, 11 yards. It's not great, obviously. This is a guy that we've talked up a lot on this show. And I understand it's like, what have you done for me lately? This guy's going to be dropped. We've seen multiple players get dropped that shouldn't be dropped, and then they get picked up right away. Like all of these Christian Watson's fine. I understand that drop. But there's been other players here, like Kadarius Toney was picked up, and then he was dropped. Now he's going to get picked up again. It happens every single week. But Dulcich ran a route on 80% of Russell Wilson's dropbacks. It was top 5 for the week among tight ends. There was a deep ball. He was targeted down the field, and it just went off his fingertips. It probably would have been a 60-yard touchdown, and we're looking at him much differently. So Jerry Jeudy's going to miss some time. He's headed for an MRI. It didn't look good. I don't think it's an Achilles. I believe it's an ankle. It could be a 4-to-6-week thing here. Cooper Kupp could be a 4-to-6-week thing for Cooper Kupp as well. But Dulcich, the Rams are done. By the way, But Dulcich, you know, the schedule is really nice. You got Las Vegas this week, which is Russell Wilson's best game of the season against the Raiders, who lost again yesterday to the Colts. Jeff Saturday. My goodness, the Raiders. I mean, Josh McDaniels has got, you got to fire him. You got to let him go. He's just not a good head coach. I never thought he was a good head coach, even with Denver. You got, you know, I think Tebow saved his bacon a couple times, and he's a good play caller. I know there's a lot of people off that are, just because they hung out with Belichick for years doesn't necessarily mean they're a good coach. But anyways, the Raiders is a really good spot for the Broncos this week. Carolina, Baltimore, KC, you could expect that to be a bit of a shootout. More so Kansas City scoring points as opposed to Denver, Arizona, and the Rams to wrap it up. But I think we ride this out here with Cole Kmet. He's a guy that I've really liked at the start of the season, and it's taken some time. And away we go. We have FTN Network testing things. What's going on? Timothy. Oh, no. Eagles jersey. It is. It's a LeSean McCoy. Old school, little vintage, shady, rockabye baby. One of my faves. In Philly. Timothy, any NHL tier picks? Yeah, we can actually get into that. I'll save it for the NHL. I'll bring up DK, and maybe we'll do something on the fly. My article should be live here, I mean, any minute over at FTN Fantasy or FTNDaily.com, a three-game breakdown. And then we'll get into some other things here. What do we got, Brett? We can get into this now if you want to. What do you think of Kerwin Williams going forward, worth holding with how broken the LA offense is? Even if they lean on the run more with Kupp out, doesn't look like a lot of upside with that offensive O-line. No, I agree. I don't know. I think some people will say he's just a scat back. I think he's got a little bit more up, you know, a little bit more to his game than that. With Notre Dame, he did have some, you know, some games where he had a lot of carries, and, you know, he can run between the tackles. He's really explosive with the ball in his hands after the catch. I mean, they could lean on him a little bit more with, you know, with Kupp out, but I think the offense is broken. I have some major concerns about the Rams. It's so hard to repeat, right? It's so hard to have everybody healthy. And we saw with the Bucs, they brought the whole band back together when they won the Super Bowl. And then it just didn't work out for them last year. A lot of injuries, couldn't keep guys healthy. And the same thing's happening here with the Los Angeles Rams. It's just, you can say it's a Super Bowl hangover all you want, but it starts with the offensive line. I mean, Eric always says, like, show me a good team, I'll show you a good coach. I don't know, he says something about a coach or a goalie, but it's the offensive line. And it's so key in football. If you don't have it, you're not going to get anything done. If you don't dominate the line of the scrimmage, you're going to struggle on both sides of the football, offensively and defensively. And this team can't move the ball. They can't run the ball. They can say whatever they want with all these running backs. I mean, Akers, Henderson, Malcolm Brown, Williams, Ronnie Rivers, it doesn't matter. The offensive line is atrocious. They can't move the ball. Stafford, when he's under center, he can't move the ball. And now their best weapon, one of the best players in football, is not going to be on the squad for the next little bit. So I no thanks. You can hold him if you want, but I'd like to know who's out there. Who's out there on your waiver wire? Like, I'd be looking at other guys like Pacheco and White, obviously, but other guys that maybe even just next man up at this point, like Kenneth Gainwell or a Samaje Perine and Alexander Mattison. I'd just be looking to handcuff guys that could fall into larger roles there. We got Deesh, so much for Pollard's limited snap count. Dallas coach Beek been bad. Then you get Jerry riding Zeke too. Yeah, I think that report was a Cowboys reporter, right? I think I read that as well, that he's better suited for 30 snaps, but with no Zeke, I mean, what are you going to do? You're going to give him as much work as you can. And he looked good again yesterday, you know, running between the tackles. He gets a touchdown. I thought he maybe a little bit more work through the air, but it was a big CeeDee Lamb game. Yeah, I mean, it's coach speak. I do believe that Tony Pollard's the best running back between the two, but I don't think Zeke is going anywhere. In fact, Jake on All in Football coming your way on Game Plus today, and you can catch it on our FTN Network YouTube page. He had a pretty good comparison for White and Leonard Fournette. He compared them to Zeke and Tony Pollard, as White, maybe the fresher back, looks better, younger, quicker. And then Zeke, like Lenny hasn't been between the tackles. He's been awful, right? The explosiveness hasn't been there, although he did have a couple nice runs against Seattle and Germany. I thought he looked the best that he's looked all season long. But the veteran back, great in pass, protection and also the goal line back. So I'd view it like that. I think both of these guys, you know, Pollard ahead, RB2, RB1, if there's no Zeke, if there's Zeke, Zeke's like a flex option. You just hope at that point, you know, he can get double digit carries, 50, 40 yards and have a rushing touchdown for you. Higher ceiling there with Tony Pollard. And I think for me moving forward, now the bye is coming at an annoying time. I had tweeted like, finally, Rashad White season, but now it's a bye. Leonard Fournette, a couple weeks to heal a hip. But if you notice in that game, White started that game. The first possession was all White. Started the game with a couple carries. He was on the field and it's like, okay, here we go. He closed out the game and he looked good running between the tackles. So it could be, for me, you know, there's a lot to kind of digest. In 2 weeks, we won't see the Bucs until a couple weeks and we can then rank them. But I think it'll be really close. I'll probably give Lenny the benefit of the doubt, but White is definitely startable, right? He's a guy that you can play as a flex there. Tyler in the house in a half point, 12 man. Would you rather drop Chuba Hubbard, Jalen Waddle, or Wandell Robinson? So, I mean, yeah, this is Wandell, right? Man, I think Darius Slayton is the guy to own there with the Giants. He's had a couple nice weeks in a row, and there seems to be, I mean, we can go back a couple years ago with Jones and Darius Slayton and Kenny Golladay. There's another report, Deesh. I don't know who said it. Was it Rap Sheet? Was it Rappaport that had the Kenny Golladay will be back and he's expected to be, I forget the wording, just heavily involved or very much involved in the offense. He was not at all. The guy is just a straight up bust, unfortunately, for the Giants and for him. Right? And he did get paid. I think he had a drop and then he sat his butt on the bench the rest of the way. But I think I would drop Wandell Robinson. Like, Deontay Foreman is fantastic. We're big Foreman fans here. He was a stash. He's turning into potential league winner, just like he was for you last year, filling in for Derrick Henry. But if anything happens here to Foreman, then Chuba kind of gets into that role. So that's the way I would go. These wide receivers, you can just pick up every single week, right? There's tons of them that are available on the waiver wire that you can roll in and roll out in a pinch, right? I mean, Carter, Chargers, right? It's a guy that I think his ownership is like 24%. Even knowing that there was no Keenan, there's no Mike Williams, Gerald Everett went down in that game, all the attention on Joshua Palmer, Austin Eckler catching balls out of the backfield. I would just drop the wide receiver in Wandell Robinson and then just have the running back depth there of I think you mean Jalen Warren, right? You're not dropping Waddle. Warren was getting some touches there out of the backfield with Najee, who actually looked pretty good as well. That was another report that surfaced that we addressed on this show that, you know, Najee would be benched. He was not benched. He did get some run. He looked good, but it was a 1-2 punch. I thought both backs looked pretty good. And he also went down there as well. Mr. Nice Guy told me the Colts win. Did you? I think there was somebody on this show that said Colts in the over. I think potentially if it was you, good on you. Okay, for sure. I mean, the Raiders are a joke. They're so bad. They're so brutal. So it was a good pick by you. By no means did I ever feel good about the Las Vegas Raiders winning that game. The defense is so bad. We're going to break. I got some Super Bowl odds I want to bring up with you guys. I got some wide receiver stuff I want to bring up with you guys as well. We're going to get into Eagles Commanders. I got this crazy stat for the Broncos as well that I wanted to get into. I just want to make sure that I got it correct. So we'll touch on that in just a little bit. Daily Handle in the house as well. Warren startable in your opinion? Jalen? Flex spot? I think so. We'll touch on that a little bit more when we get back. Keep her locked. Welcome back in Mean Streets here on Game Plus Network as well as our FTN Network YouTube page. So just going to wrap up a couple of those questions there we didn't get to. Joey in the house, go Steelers, big W for Pitt. That one we were on. Nice win. I expect a little bit more from Pickens, but a nice win there for the Steelers. How about Deontay? Deontay Johnson, does this guy have a touchdown yet this season? I don't think he does. And, you know, he's getting a lot of targets. He's got 81 targets. So I think last year was like, what, 2 or 3 in the NFL in targets. He continues to get a lot of looks, but man, he's not scoring. He has 0 touchdowns, 435 yards from him. Schedule is decent. There's a couple solid games here for the Steelers. I actually think Kenny Pickett, you know, in a super flex league, I think he's kind of interesting. He's sneaky. He had a rushing touchdown yesterday. He could run a little bit. You know, he's got some weapons there in Deontay and Pickett and or Pickens, and then always gets me. And Pat Freiermuth, who do like as a tight end. But some matchups here coming forward. I mean, Indy week 12, Atlanta week 13, Baltimore week 14, Carolina week 15, the Raiders on Christmas Eve week 16 at home. So there's some matchups here. I think you could do worse as like your second quarterback, right? I think obviously even when Stafford comes back, you know, we're done with Stafford. We're not rolling that guy out anymore. Goff with some highs and some lows, but I think he's interesting in a super flex league. For Warren, a couple of things I got written down here. So, I mean, the snaps were still dominated by Harris. Najee had 50 to Warren's 36. They both ran 14 routes, but three targets for Warren and just one target for Najee. And then, you know, the carries were pretty significant in favor of Najee Harris. Like I said, I mean, he looked really good. I don't know if he heard the reports or not, but it was his best game of the season. He had 20 carries for 99 yards, 5.0 yards per pop. He had a long run of 36. Pickett, as I mentioned, 51 rushing yards for him, and he had a touchdown. And then Warren chipped in with 37 yards on 9 carries. But he did, you know, he was second behind Deontay in terms of receiving yards for 40. So that is very valuable. Man, Najee, like last year, this guy was just a catch machine. And I don't think it was all Big Ben. I don't think it was just Ben. I know he had a lot to do with it because he couldn't throw the ball down the field. It was just like quick throws to Najee. But Najee's not getting that work this year, and Warren is. So I wouldn't feel great daily handle about starting him as a flex in a PPR league. Maybe there's four teams on bye this week. You know, those two running backs in Miami, the Miami Dolphins look fantastic. I sit here and talk about them all day. When Brian jumped on the show last week, talked about, you know, their offense and, you know, having guys in motion and 37 explosive plays when guys were in motion of at least 15 yards down the field. And the next team was Kansas City at 22. They just do it again. Like Tua was fantastic again yesterday. And it wasn't even huge games from, you know, Waddle or Tyreek, right? We saw both running backs. I mean, Jeff Wilson, just he looks beautiful in this offense, right? It's just San Fran's offense over to Miami and Mike McDaniel in the play calling. I know Cleveland hasn't been able to stop the run all year, but both of those guys, it looks like a really good 1-2 punch. Miami is a competitive squad. Now, I have some questions about their secondary, but they're legit. They already beat the Bills this year. Say what you want about that game, and the Bills ran 90 plays on offense. Doesn't matter. They Miami won that game. And they're 7-0 in games when Tua has started and finished. But for Najee, yeah, I just got to take a double check here. He had 74 catches last year and 94 targets. 94 targets. He only has 24 catches this season. So he's averaging 12.4 receiving yards per game compared to 27 last year. 4.7 yards per catch. That's compared to 6.3. So the numbers are it's pretty significant, the drop off. But have Warren, right? I mean, Warren is a flex play there. I would sell high on Najee after seeing that game. It's like that'd be enough for me to move on from him. Any hope for Brennan Cooks? No hope for Brennan Cooks. None. I don't think so. A little bit, just because of the schedule. Yeah, there it is. They have a nice schedule. Yeah, I think so too. Right? Christian Watson, better quarterback. I mean, the Texans are just not scoring. They're not scoring any points. How many touchdowns does Davis Mills have on the season? 11. It's more than I thought. He's got 11 touchdowns. He's coming off pretty much his best game, 319 yards. Had a touchdown, a pick, 22 for 37. Nico Collins led the way for the Colts yesterday in terms of snaps, routes, and he scored a touchdown too, I believe, right? Well, I mean, it was a big day for us because there's a lot of guys that we like that haven't done anything for the first. We're going to win a lot of consolation brackets on this show, right? I mean, we're going to plug in Nico Collins, Cole Kmet, Christian Watson, Justin Fields. Like, hey, Justin Fields, he was a big target for us heading into the season. We love Fields. We'd like Trey Lance, but you were really paying that price for Trey Lance, where Justin Fields is going as quarterback 15, 16. And, you know, what he's doing now isn't really what he did towards the end of last season, but he did average 57 rushing yards over his last six or seven games last season. So he still came with a solid floor, but he's taken his game to another level. But it's taken some time for some of these guys. Rashad White is another guy. It's taken a lot. You know, sometimes it just takes a lot, especially for rookie running backs. I mean, Cam Akers a couple years ago, he won me a lot of consolation brackets. You know, I drafted this guy in like the fifth, sixth round, didn't do anything until the final couple weeks of the season. I was already out of it. Same thing with Javonte Williams last year. Took a little bit of time. It was a split backfield with him and Melvin Gordon, and then he started to overtake the backfield towards the end of the season as well. But I would agree. I think I'd rather have, in fact, I know I'd rather have Christian Watson. You have that wide receiver board. Let's bring this up right now. I got a couple wide receivers here that I wanted to touch on. So you see Christian Watson, 8 targets, 4 grabs, 106 yards, 3 TDs, 31.7 points in a half point setting. I believe he was number 2 overall. Played him a lot in DFS. Again, a shout out to Two Gun. He's like a 3-time millionaire winner over at DraftKings. He's always with the guys on Sunday with Vlad and Gove and Sam Shortery, who won again. He just seems to win every single week. But I put up 193 points on DraftKings. I had a pretty decent showing as well, and it was Christian Watson. Two Gun had him in the article. I was thinking to myself, you know, no dubs in this game. The Cowboys are probably going to be able to score some points. Let's see if we can get some Christian Watson. I've said it on the show before. I'll stick to it. He reminds me of Mike Evans. He's a big body. He's had some drops this season. There's no question. He's suffered so many injuries as well. There's been numerous injuries with him. Hamstring, concussion. Heck, it looked like he suffered another injury yesterday as well on like the first or second series on a drop. And I was like, oh man, is this guy hurt again? But he is the guy in this offense that has the highest ceiling. Even heading into the season, I thought that because he's just his draft pedigree. Romeo Dubs had a nice camp and he's had some nice moments, but Christian Watson's got a higher ceiling and Dubs is going to miss some time here. So I really like Christian Watson moving forward. Can we show this list? Can we get back to this list again? Donovan Peoples-Jones, guys. Donovan Peoples-Jones is very, very impressive. Another strong game from him, 5 catches, 99 yards, 9 targets. We nailed it over at the FTM betting show. We had his props on this show. We had 3.5 catches. We had over 41.5 receiving yards in the FTM betting show. Actually, had a decent day. We went 3 for 3 there. We had Donovan Peoples-Jones receiving yards. We had Darnell Mooney receiving yards. And we had Travis Etienne receiving yards. But this is not about me. This is about Peoples-Jones. And Peoples-Jones heading into the game yesterday, in the previous 4 weeks, he had more catches than Amari Cooper. He was like 7 or 6 yards shy of Amari Cooper. But over the past couple of weeks, I mean, we can go back to week 4. And he's got at least 4 catches in 6 straight games and at least 50 yards in 6 straight games. He has a long catch of at least 37 yards in 4 straight games and 5 of his past 6. And I don't think you need me to remind you guys, but Deshaun Watson is coming back here pretty soon. And the schedule is really nice for the Cleveland Browns. Week 13, Houston. Week 14, Cincy. Week 15, Baltimore. Week 16, New Orleans. Week 17, Washington. Now, Jacoby Brissett is building a nice rapport here with Donovan Peoples-Jones. That could change if Watson comes back. He could just hammer Amari Cooper, or he could target his old buddy, Donovan Peoples-Jones, deep down the field. And we know Deshaun Watson has a bit of a cannon. We've seen it multiple times over the course of his career. Will Fuller comes to mind. Donovan Peoples-Jones is stretching the field. He's making big plays. He's a league winner. I think he's a league winner. I mean, he's had 7 fantasy points in 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 straight games. He continues to trend up 8 to 10 to 12. It looks really good. His ownership is 34%. He should be rostered and he should be started. He's a wide receiver 3 for me last week. Matchup here against the Bills. Bit of a tough spot, but I do like him. Kadarius Toney's on this list. 5 targets, 4 grabs, 57 yards. Had a touchdown and really nice celebration. I thought he pulled a hammy on that celebration. He has 17 fantasy points. Let's keep an eye on Juju. Let's keep an eye on Mecole Hardman. I don't view Kadarius as much of a sell high anymore. When the trade happened, I mean, I saw people, there were 3 people, whether they're lying to me or not, told me that they got Jonathan Taylor for Kadarius Toney straight up. It's like, wow, that's a win. Because Jonathan Taylor looked pretty good yesterday, did he not? And he got a lot of the work, all of the work. He looked good running between the tackles. A little bit of rejuvenated offense there, I suppose. Good for Jeff Saturday. You know, he's no coaching experience really at all. I saw the tweet that surfaced about him tweeting a couple years ago how bad the Raiders looked, and that resurfaced because he's coaching against the Raiders and they looked bad again yesterday. But good for Saturday as a lineman, you know, who could help out the offensive line. He throws Matt Ryan under center because that gives him Matt Ryan gives them the best chance to win a football game, and they won a football game. Paris Campbell's on that list as well, I think, right? The reason I brought up Paris Campbell was because Paris Campbell was trending up in that offense when Matt Ryan was under center, and then Matt Ryan lost his job, and then Paris Campbell was like kind of an afterthought again. But Paris Campbell is on that list, right? Can we bring that up again one more time here, Tyler? Yeah, 9 targets, 7 grabs, 76 yards for Paris Campbell. So what I just want to say with Campbell, now it's a bit of a risky pickup. I still like Pittman more, but I've been talking about Alec Pierce on the show quite a bit. So I kind of have to reference that I don't obviously like Pierce as much. But you go back to week 6 against Jacksonville, 11 targets, 7 grabs, 57 yards and a touchdown. Week 12 against Tennessee, 12 targets, 10 grabs, 70 yards and a touchdown. Then week 8 and week 9 was, no Matt Ryan. And then Matt Ryan returns yesterday. 9 targets, 7 grabs, 76 yards, and a touchdown. So, you know, quick math here, 3 games means 3 touchdowns. It's like 30 targets and just shy of 30 catches there. Nico Collins mentioned him. Like, if you're looking for a wide receiver with good spots, we talked about the schedule moving forward. The Texans are an awful football team. They're going to be throwing, even though they have stuck to the, I give them a little bit of credit. They give Damian Pierce his touches, right? And he had another good game, had his receiving rushing yard prop was cashed there. And I mentioned Darius Slayton as somebody to consider as well. I got some Slayton numbers here for you. They're not alarming numbers. They're not fantastic, but Darius Slayton, last 3 games, 18 points, 9 points, and 12. He's had double-digit fantasy points. I'll call the 9.1. Can we call the 9.1 10? We can't. He's had 9 fantasy points in 4 of his final 5 games. 95 and a touchdown, 66 no touchdowns, but 5 grabs in week 8, 58 yards and a touchdown, 3 grabs in week 7. And in week 5, which was really his first full game in the NFL this season, because he missed some time with an injury, 6 grabs and 79 yards. He does this. Slayton does this. He has these high ceiling games. He's the only guy really that Jones has to throw the football to. I mean, how many attempts did Saquon have on the ground? 35? 32? 35? Like, he had like 25 halfway through the game. They want to run the ball there. There's no question they want to run the ball. They get into these games coming up against the Eagles. They're going to run all over them with Saquon. But Slayton does stretch the field a little bit for them. So that's the wide receiver talk for now. We got a break. We'll get into some picks. And we got a lot more here to talk about on Mean Streets. Keep it locked. Welcome back in. There was a question there about Higbee as a potential add. I think he had 8 targets, 8 catches. With no Cooper Kupp, he is, there it is. Yeah, Mr. Nice Guy. I mean, it is interesting with no Cooper Kupp. I kind of cut my ties with him, even though it was a good matchup, against Arizona. I said I just didn't really want anything to do with it. Then Kupp goes down and, he ends up with the 8 targets here. 8 targets, 8 grabs, 73 yards. I think it's okay. I mean, he's going to get some volume, right? If there's no Kupp, he's certainly going to get some volume because his team can't run the ball. Like, they just can't at all. Matchup here against the Saints and against the Chiefs. A couple decent spots here after that one as well. I'll say that I would rather have Kmet, Njoku. I know he didn't play, but this Browns offense, with Deshaun. And that could be part of it with Donovan Peoples-Jones getting a little bit more run without Njoku there too. I mean, I'm not going to lie and say that that's not part of it, but I still like Donovan Peoples-Jones. Juwan Johnson, again, he had another game with a touchdown for the Saints. The Saints just don't have anybody outside of Chris Olave and, Kamara catching balls in the backfield. So it's not, fantastic, but he does have 4 touchdowns over his last 4 games. It's all you can really ask for at the tight end position. And he had a season high, 5 catches and 7 targets yesterday for 44 yards, all season highs for him yesterday in that matchup against Pittsburgh. But he does have a bye coming up. But I would probably rank him the rest of the year, Kmet and Njoku. Maybe I'll go Higbee there and then Johnson. Yeah. Well, also Zach Ertz, suffered an injury. I don't know if there's any word on that. That could be season ending for Zach Ertz. So you may need some tight ends there to kind of pick up and kind of fill the gaps for this week. What else do we have? Peoples-Jones has been a surprise and Watson coming back could be huge. Absolutely. Also feels playing better. Has me excited for Mooney. I mean, Mooney's receiving yards are too. That's what I said on the show was on the FTM betting show was, I don't know, books just. They're just kind of snoozing on Mooney here. His receiving yard prop's been at 40, 38 to 41 since week 2. Week 1, 8 yards. Week 2, negative 4 yards. Week 3, 23 yards. After that, 94, 52, 68, 53, 70, 43, and 57. Heading into yesterday, he had 31 targets in his previous 4 games. That was the 7th most at the wide receiver position. He only had 4 yesterday, but he caught all 4 of them for 57 yards. Mooney is definitely trending up inside this offense. Joshua Palmer got to be a drop for one of those guys after this week. I don't know. I guess for what? One of those guys. Yeah. Can we bring up that board one more time and just make sure everyone's on this? Want to see everyone that's on that board again. I would drop Palmer for the first 3 guys The first three guys. And I like Palmer. I don't know. Do we need to drop him? Can you find a way to hold on to him? Like, Mike Williams probably returns. I saw him on the field. He was looking like a guy that was questionable to play last night. I wouldn't be shocked if he returns this week against Kansas City. I think we could see that happen this week, right? They're done their bye. Kansas City, I think that could happen. Keenan Allen, I don't know. Keenan Allen going to play again this year? I don't know. Gerald Everett, he suffered an injury yesterday too, right? So I think I'd hold Palmer, but those three guys for sure, I'm starting over Palmer. I'm starting Watson over Palmer. I'm starting Kadarius over Palmer. I'm starting Donovan Peoples-Jones. And then the other guys are like deep leagues. Like, I'm in a 16-team league. I've been playing Slayton for the past 4 weeks. I'm so happy with what I've gotten from him. I thought it could be in zero. It could be 10. It could be 15 points. This is like some highs and some lows there with Slayton, but it's definitely him over Wandell Robinson, right? So if you had to make that choice between the two guys there, Timothy Jones, diehard New York Giant, old man here on the fence with the rumor OBJ joining the team. Go and get him, right? Giants are not going to be able to win all these games just from running the football. They're going to get inside these games inside the NFC. You're going to play the Eagles. You're going to play the Cowboys. You're going to play San Fran in the playoffs, Minnesota. Like, these are teams that are going to be able to score some points. You got to have a guy. I get it. Maybe some bad blood there. Go and get OBJ, right? It'd be fun for the Giants, you know, back there again with his old team. He still has a lot to offer. He's going to garner a lot of attention, certainly. One-on-ones. He's going to get some one-on-ones with the way that they run the ball with Saquon and Daniel Jones. I would go get him. I traded Nico Collins and Fab a month ago for Danny Dimes, a 14 man. Yeah, been a steal. Yeah, Danny Dimes has been pretty good. But I do like Nico in a deeper setting. I don't think I'm there yet starting him as a wide receiver three or a flex, but we do have to break one more time. We're going to come back with some picks. We got NHL picks and we have NFL picks for tonight. Keep her locked. Hopefully win some cash here on Mean Streets. Timothy Jones, got to get Victor Cruz out of his suit and back on the field. Let's bring that guy back. Get the salsa dance going. Absolutely. I love it. As a Giants fan, I'm sure you're hoping both of these teams could lose tonight. Let's talk about the Eagles and the Washington Commanders. This game happening in Philly at the link. The Eagles are 11-point favorites here. The total is 43.5. I actually like Washington to cover this game. I think they can keep it close. I think the defense is pretty decent in Washington, at least on the ground. As I mentioned earlier, this is a team, according to Football Outsiders, they're second in rush DVOA defense. And when these two teams played earlier in the season, a season high 6 punts for the Eagles in that game, 4 of 12 possessions. They only scored on 4 of them. Hurts only had 20 rushing yards, which is a season low for him, and 2.2 yards per carry, also a season low for him. The Eagles overall had 72 rushing yards in that game, which is the lowest they've had this season. 28.1 points per game is what the Eagles are averaging. So, I just don't feel like Washington will be able to score 21, and the Eagles maybe get to like 24, 28. I don't know. I feel like 11 is a lot here. There's been a lot of teams covering. There's been a lot of tight games. The Eagles have covered a lot of these big spreads. But these division matchups, you know, the second time around, maybe you learn a thing or two about the other team. Certainly getting an upgrade at the quarterback position from Carson Wentz, who was sacked 9 times in that game, to Taylor Heinicke, who he's looked pretty good over the past couple weeks. 28% target share for his guy, Terry McLaurin. His number one wide receiver is really peppering him as well. So I like Philly, but I think that this game will be close. And what we saw from that game when they played was a strong aerial attack from Jalen Hurts and company. So there's a couple different ways to go here for props when it comes to Philadelphia Eagles. And if you've been following this team, 1 week it's a Miles Sanders game. Another week it's a Jalen Hurts game on the ground, through the air, Dallas Goedert. It's an A.J. Brown game. I think today it's a Devontae Smith game. And it was a Devontae Smith game when these two teams played each other earlier in the year. I'm taking the over 4.5 catches for Smith at +115 over at Bet Rivers. Only 2 catches for 22 yards last week against Houston, but they ran the ball over the Texans. That's what you do against Houston. 5+ grabs in his previous 3 games and 20 over those 3 games. He had 1 game with 10 catches. The other two, he had 5 games. In week 3, when these two teams played, 8 catches on 12 targets for 169 yards. He had 3 catches of 45 yards, 44 yards, and 31 yards. So give me Smith here over 4.5. And I also like his receiving yard prop. A couple other props that I like from this game as well. As you see on this board, his receiving yard prop, 49.5, maybe 52, 53.5, 54.5 before it gets to kickoff. I like it. I'm going to take anything over 55. As I mentioned, those big yardage plays that he had in this game against Washington, you can pass on the Texans, right? Again, a tough team to run on. And Jalen Hurts plus money here for two passing touchdowns. He's had at least two passing touchdowns in three straight games, eight total. And he had 35 pass attempts against Washington week three. It's the second most he's had this season. He had three touchdowns in that game and a season high 340 passing yards. You can run in the Eagles. They've really struggled to stop the run all year long. Robinson over 33.5 rushing yards, 13 carries for 44 rushing yards last week, 40 plus rushing yards in three of his last four games. And with Avante Maddox, sideline, Josiah Scott is going to play in the middle here as the safety against Curtis Samuel. Samuel's not going to have to deal with Darius Slay or James Bradbury. I think with Jahan Dotson back, that's good news for Samuel. I think Terry McLaurin can get his yards. He had a great game against Darius Slay earlier in the year. But give me Curtis Samuel here as the guy to maybe have the day for Washington. He's top 49 yards in three straight games and seven of his nine games this season. He's had 39 plus yards in eight of nine. So I think he can get back to 40. That's it for the props. I think the Eagles win. And I like the under 43.5. We got some NHL stuff here to round out Mean Streets. Keep her locked. Timothy, hang on. I'm going to rapid fire through my tier lineup here in a second. Four games on the ice. I'm leading with Tyler Toffoli as my shot prop guy here for tonight. Minus 125 over at Bet Rivers. 13 shots in his last three games. He's cleared in each of those three games. He's been automatic early this season. 9 of 11, his last 11 games, 9 of them he's cleared. He's had 4-plus shots in 7 of those games as well. He's on the top line. He's getting top power play time here, and he's the shooter on that power play. Jonathan Huberdeau is looking to pass probably way too much. He's returning to the lineup tonight. Good news for the Calgary Flames. Let's see if he can get on a run. Other props that I like for tonight, a couple shot props here. Nathan McKinnon over 4.5, Brock Nelson over 2.5, Jordan Kyrou over 2.5. Brock Nelson had 10 in his last game. And Svechnikov and Aho for a point over at Bet365. Plus 110. Some of these odds may have changed. That's what they were when I put them in the bet tracker. Again, if you're subscribed, you're following FTN alerts, you get notified right away with those odds. Here's the lineup, rapid fire through the tier lineup. McKinnon, Svechnikov, Aho, Brock Nelson, Elias Lindholm, Arturi Lehkonen, Sean Durzi, and Jordan Kyrou. Good luck, Timothy. Good luck with all your picks tonight. We'll be back tomorrow. Cheers.